This is the Gwinnett County Public Library Podcast. I'm Steve Thomas, branch manager at our Buford Sugar Hill branch, and we've got a group together here today to talk about an event that they attended called Transform Your Stacks to Drive Circulation. That was a library journal professional development opportunity, and we're going to share with the rest of the staff here with what they learned. So we're going to go around first and just kind of introduce everybody and talk about sort of one main takeaway they took back from the event. So Jessica.
All right. Hello, my name is Jessica Logan. I'm the branch manager at the Hamilton Mill branch. And I would say my main takeaway from this workshop is really the importance of location of the items in your collection. And to really think about that when you're planning your layout. For instance, large print should probably go close to the front of the building for the older customers or those who have mobility issues, things like that. And then, of course, you should put your holds further back in the branch because the customers who are coming for their holds are coming for their holds. So they're going to walk through the branch a bit to get those if need be and maybe become introduced or familiar to some other things in your collection along the way if you're having them go along. And also really to just think about the different pathways in your branch that customers might experience and to really think about the things that you can introduce them to along the way as they walk further into your building.
Okay. Keith?
This is Keith Davis. I am a manager in the IT department. Since I'm not someone who works immediately with merchandising the books in a branch, one of the most significant takeaways I got from the presentation was more about the concept of marketing a public library. He talked at length about what the brand of the library is, that the majority of people, when you ask them, you know, what is a public library, it's the place you go to get free books. And in our library world, we tend to spend a lot of time focusing on all the other services we provide. And from his point of view, that's sort of polluting our brand, that we really need to put our emphasis on our books because that is what drives people here, not being a public meeting place or providing events and all the other functions that a library provides.
And then let me jump in before we go to Patrice, that the speaker of this event was David Vinjamuri, and he's the president of Third Way Brand Trainers, and he's an NYU professor of marketing, so this is someone outside the library world giving a sort of outsider's perspective onto libraries. Patrice?
Thank you, Steve. I'm Patrice Prevost. I'm the assistant manager of the Five Forks Public Library, and I think the thing that I took away was the fact that it involves the whole team to create community-inspired, community-driven displays. And that's something, an energy and a perspective that I've taken back to my branch as well that has actually energized us.
Great. Margaret?
Hi, I'm Margaret Nunes. I'm the Public Services Librarian at the Dekula branch. One of my takeaways is to expand upon what Keith said about the branding of the library, and presenter thinks that the library should focus more on books, and he pointed out to us that that's what people perceive us as, the book supplier, and that should be more of our brand. And he also indicated that other things that we currently offer in the libraries are found elsewhere. For instance, internet is becoming free in more places, and that Google is looking at ways to lay down special cables to make it more accessible. Other places can help people find jobs. There's many online services for computer courses and that sort of thing. But that we should probably primarily focus on books, which I thought was kind of an original concept. In the 21st century, that's actually an original concept.
Jody?
Hi, I'm Josina Capello. I'm the assistant manager at the Dekula branch. And to piggyback on what Patrice said, including your whole branch in the process, they discussed creating what's called a planogram, making sure that you have kind of a visual aid available for all staff, that on it, it should state where the displays are, what's on them, and when do they start and end. and that this planogram should be changed regularly so that when your visitors come in that 3 week or 4 week, whatever Lynn period cycle you have, that they will see something new and different every time they come.
Ron?
Hi, I'm Ron Gauthier. I'm the branch manager of the Grayson Branch Library. And one of the things I took away, I thought that really stood out for me, was the significance of displaying our mid-list authors where they're more accessible. And the mid-list authors are those which are not necessarily bestsellers, but are strong enough to economically justify their publications of their works. One of the things we do is we display best-selling authors first, but most of our customers already know how to access them. They're usually on waiting lists and so on and so forth. So one of the other things that was mentioned that really stood out is that when we make a display, if we point to something, we give it value immediately for our customers.
All right, Deb?
Hello, I'm Deborah George. I'm the Director of Materials Management here at Gwinnett. And some of the best ideas I heard were about books being the brand, and as the speaker coming from a marketing background, knowing your brand, knowing what your customers are looking for you to provide is the key to being successful. When they talk about narrow brands succeed, they have several slides on that, which was very, very interesting. It showed examples of those that spread out and tried to be everything for everybody. But also, understood when he talked about you have to go beyond just being passively the book expert. Really what we need to focus on is the discovery aspect, because they spent a good bit of time talking about, okay, great, that's where you went to get your free books and free DVDs and stuff, but how'd you figure out what was the next thing you were going to read? And surprisingly, that wasn't the library. And those of us that work here know that we have tons and tons of readers advisory through personal interactions with staff, through novelists, through online resources, through the integration of things through our online public catalog, which includes Goodreads. And there are many, many ways to look at professional reviews, and now we have staff picks, which are directions that we need to go so that the library is not just finding books that you already know about, like Ron said, but discovering the new ones and the next one. That's where we really need to expand and further develop. That was a big point he made, and I do think that's the future, and I'm hoping that with improvements to our pack, we've seen some ways that we can do that and some new tools that should help customers improve their discoverability of things that we do have.
And one thing that we're kind of talking about now is the idea that some of you brought up of moving the holds further back into the branch. We're talking about doing that now in all the branches and trying to get them, because our philosophy before was always let people come, get in, get out, and we're kind of changing that a little bit. Were there other things that you came back from this with that you have either already implemented or you're planning to implement in your branch or department that specifically came from this or was inspired by this?
Cross-marketing of your materials, putting materials that wouldn't normally be related to that area, but does work with what's in that area. For example, Halloween's about to come up. In the children's area, put adult nonfiction costume-making books into your children's area, because that's where the mothers are. They're not actually in the nonfiction area. They're in the children's area with their kids. So taking the materials that work with that demographic and bringing it to them instead of waiting for them to come to where those materials are.
Yeah, that was sort of the idea back when we had separate parenting section of habit. We always tried to keep it near the kids section because the parents were kind of around there. So, anybody else?
At Five Forks, Steve, we've also included some of the adult and the children's materials on displays up near the front. For example, we have a display on nature right now. We have some books about playing outside that might interest the kids and discovery outside, as Jody was talking about. But we also have books that encourage parents to allow their kids to have open play. And just the philosophy behind what kids learn when they're playing. So the concept of putting those two together, it was kind of alien to the staff originally, but it's working quite well, and we can't keep the displays full enough.
We experienced the same exact thing at Hamilton Mill, actually. For anyone familiar with the layout there, our children's area is all the way in the back, and it's quite a long building and a long walk to get back there. And so what we've done is we always have an easy children's materials display right at the front of the building. And it's amazing to see their faces light up as soon as they walk in the door. There's something for them right there.
Yeah.
And that's the one display that we, I mean, it's impossible to keep it filled. We're constantly having to keep a back stock of those books nearby so that we can quickly refill it because they just fly off the display.
I liked one of the, this is Steph George again, I liked the point they made about creating self-directed pathways,
mm-hmm.
and a lot that, obviously you can get a sense of that in a physical branch, but also online, and where you have our featured title list, and you have themed displays online, it serves sort of that same purpose. Customers can come in, we've curated some items for them on a, around a theme or seasonal event, and that allows them to go through that, and you know, judging by the number of hits that those get, and, it's a really effective way to promote the collection. I've always thought, wouldn't it be neat if we do what stores do? So you look at their website, and they're promoting something, something's on sale, and then when you go to the store, you see the same thing. I think we could really move a lot of stuff and build awareness and discovery by doing some coordinated efforts with our online promotions and our in-branch promotion. I know we do that just...
Mm-hmm.
You know, particularly seasonal, we're going to have to do Halloween, and y'all are too. But it's really remarkable to see how many hits those get. We can look at Google Analytics and see just how popular those, anything that we curate is. It really helps customers. It saves their time, and it allows them to discover things they didn't even know we had, which is great.
Yeah, I know one of the things that they discussed at the play, at the presentation was talking about what we can learn from bookstores. Does anybody have any thoughts about that, of what you learned that they talked about there, of like bookstore displays and the way they shelve things? And
one thing that, it's not a major thing, but that kind of struck me is I remember reading in the presentation a slide where he said if you have four or more copies of a book, they should not be spine out. They should be turned so that the cover of the book is spaced out so that they can see that. And I mean, it's something we try to do, but that I don't, for some reason, that number four just stuck in my head, and it's helped. You know, I go through the shelves, and it's okay, four or more, flip it out so they can see, and it just makes the shelves, it's a quick, easy way to make things look a little bit more welcoming and colorful and attractive.
And they were doing that at the Lilburn Branch, just so y'all know. We know it's all going to get messed up, they're going to get checked out, but while they were flush with materials, they had several face-out designs, and it looked really fantastic.
Speaking of someone who worked in the bookstore world for a while, the term they use for bookshelves where all the books are spined out is library-like.
Oh, really?
So that's their view of how we shelve our books.
Yep.
Some of the other marketing advice that they gave that was good was to keep in mind balance, symmetrical, asymmetrical, color, that color can strike an emotion. And with another item they used was the rule of three, stating that, you know, too much choice is paralyzing. And sometimes when we make displays, we want to put a lot of stuff and tower it really high, but really to avoid that and to keep the displays as simple as possible so that our customers can quickly make a choice for what they're looking for.
Well, and more importantly, aren't so intimidated about pulling a book. If it's too neat a display, then he did point that out. It was pointed out, if the display is too neat and too symmetrical and too, like a pyramid or something like that, people are afraid to, obviously, it may look good, but that's not the point. The point is just attract them enough to take something off of it, that balance.
Well, I think we all get that in the branch every once in a while. Somebody's like, can I check this out? It's like, yes, that's what it's there for. Yes,
yeah,
yes, please.
And make sure that people are invited to check the item.
And Mary Schreiber presented a section as well, and she touched on that. And one thing that stuck with me is that it's more important than anything, too, to keep up with them. It's better to just do fewer displays if you can keep up with them well, because if there's empty sitting displays, that I guess is a negative impression on the customer, and that's going to stick with them more than the positive one if your display is nice and neat. So you have to make sure that you have the staffing and time to invest in keeping up with all of your displays.
Another thing that he touched on was allow your community to inspire and drive the displays that you have. I know at Five Forks we're a polling place, so we have a display that's set up on elections and the voting process, and it's set up for kids as well as adults and teens. So, and we can't keep that stocked. But it's been gratifying extremely to see people come in, stop, pause, look at it, think about it, and say, oh, yeah, I think I do want that.
Well, that's a good example of cross-merchandising as well, that you're putting multiple age ranges in the same thing. So, so somebody else brought up the traffic patterns in the branch, I think, Deb, of putting things in the way of the customer. That's part of what the moving the hold thing back is that they're going to walk past other things. I mean, it's the milk in the back of the store kind of thing. And I know, Ron, at Grayson, you've got part of our new service model is moving the carts around that we help with customers with. So you've got several traffic patterns set up in Grayson of how you do that. Do you guys think about that kind of thing as you're thinking of how you're going to move your staff around the branch, of how customers are going to move around the branch?
Right, both. We're thinking now with the new service model where we're actually roaming more with the kiosk, bringing the help desk wherever the customers are. We're also thinking about restructuring exactly where we have parts of the collection, and then also trying to merchandise our electronic collection, making it more visible so it's not the quote-unquote invisible collection out there, our databases, our website, so on and so forth. So we're thinking of doing that as well, making it where customers could walk in a certain pathway and you see information about Reference USA, Novelist, so on and so forth. So that's in the planning stage.
They had some very, I appreciated the very practical tips, and sometimes they'd say you just get this little 50-cent hanger and put an index card on it. So a lot of these, the point was you don't have to have a lot of money in the kind of the exercise that we all did, pulling things out of our purse and just making stuff up. But it showed how with just a little bit of time and minimal, you know, expense for supplies, you can really just create some displays on the fly and really help promote materials and stuff in the branch. I thought that was really cool.
And I believe there was some discussion also of that Dewey Decimal System makes sense to us perfectly because we went through library school and know all this kind of stuff, but it doesn't necessarily make sense to our customers, so we want to create some kind of signage that directs them to the right kind of places as well, because they're just going to go over and see all this. It barely makes sense to us sometimes, but it's not intuitive at all to find things. So do you guys do that kind of thing at your branches?
Over our stacks, we do have labels that basically, you know, in the 641s, it'll say cooking and things like that. So they are basic in general, so it's not too much. I don't think it's overwhelming, but it does give them a bit of direction.
We do a lot of signage to give it that bookstore feel when you're walking around, but Dewey is definitely a part of it. I think in Dewey is more for the staff. You know where things are. If you're looking for something on, for instance, fishing, we know it's the 690s, but then, well, 790s. 790s, but then 799 is fishing. We know that because we know Dewey, so that's more for us. The customers know the signage is, this is sports, this is arts and recreation, so on and so forth.
Right, because those signs help the customers who were self-directed, who were going around the branch by themselves, and don't need to come to staff, or even to look at the catalog and see, oh, that's it, 323.5.
Cooking is a good example where you'll go, okay, where are your cookbooks? And they'll see the cooking sign, or you can direct them over there. But if you want to go, well, I was actually looking for vegan baking. So that's when your Dewey comes in, you're like, well, okay, those are going to be in a particular Dewey section. And so when you have to drill down to something or a certain dog breed or, you know, something in particular in nonfiction, it does help you get down to that very specific level. So it's just like you go from broad to more narrow.
But it ties into what we actually are doing because we have an opportunity to have conversations with the customers and then cross-reference, like Ron was talking about, the databases and things like that. We can say, yes, we have this book, we have this database, we also have these magazines, and a lot of times they're amazed. Now we have Zinio, too. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many people have been just amazed with the Zinio since we started doing that.
I heard a comment about digital magazines yesterday at the Lilburn groundbreaking from some of the, probably the City Hall side of the crowd was saying, hey, can you believe you can get all the magazines digitally? It's kind of cool to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, kind of speaking of that, I know the last session that they had was sort of getting outside your walls, and that's a big part of our new service model as well. Was there anything from that part of the session that really resonated with you guys of the outreach part of it, the pop-up library we've got that we're doing here, or anything else?
I recommended promoting the library on social media, even sharing, and I already do this too, library events. I'll post to my own Facebook page and share it and pass it on. And they did recommend that Facebook has the most engagement out there, and that we should be the book expert on social media, so people know that the library is promoting, you know, books, and we know we're the experts, so to speak.
Steve, you mentioned the pop-up library, and one thing they did talk about, I think it was Mary Shriver that brought it up, was starting deposit collections out in the community. So senior centers, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, daycares, and preschools, anywhere that will let us just start a little collection there, so that we can get the books into their hands even easier without them having to come in. So, kind of doing that with the uni, but if we can expand it even more, that would be really exciting.
Learning to market library services is kind of a critical need for libraries. I remember when I first came to work for the library, there were several things that I was just amazed that the library offered. And I had a library card. It's not like I had not used the library. I mean, I was paying $100 a year for an Ancestry.com membership, and you can get all of that for free from the library. If anyone had ever mentioned it, it would have saved some money.
Yeah. All right, well, does anybody have any other final thoughts that they wanted to bring up before we sign off here?
I think it's going to give our customers an opportunity to explore maybe 85% of the resources, like Keith has said, that they aren't aware of. Most people use that library card for one particular purpose. They go in, they pick up a book or magazine, they walk out. But I think what we're all trying to do is to get them to understand there's more to us than just walking in the library and walking out.
All right. Thank you, everybody.